Yo, what is good, ladies and germs? Welcome to another episode of CHN Radio. It's your boy Elijah here, and I'm joined alongside the co-host with the most, who doesn't like to boast, who carve you up like a Sunday roast, the illustrious Josh. Josh, how you doing?
I should anticipate that, but it gets me every time. I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, that's good.
How are you?
We're out here in these streets, man, alive and well. That's all you can ask for these days. So yeah, chilling. Good times over in the desert. So it's starting to feel like fall. So that's nice.
Do you get seasons in the desert?
Apparently, there's apparently some like crazy mega winter that's going to hit the States. But I don't know. There's a mega weather event every couple years now because you know climate change. So
mega. Yeah, we're gonna get it.
Yeah. I didn't even talk about this with Josh because we were just shooting the shit. But this is the This is a two-episode week, even though they're coming out on the same day in this interest of time. So we're gonna talk a little Champions League. This will probably be the shorter of the two because there's less to talk about. And then you'll see another pod in the feed that is going to be talking about all the other Newcastle happenings. So we'll talk about the two matches that Newcastle played in English football play. It said league play, but one was a cup match. And then we'll preview Newcastle's upcoming match this weekend in the Prem. But without further ado, let's just get it started with Dortmund. This was a match that I had to work. So I missed a lot of this. I missed a good chunk of this live, but I got to watch replay and highlights, and I didn't miss much. Newcastle hosted Dortmund in Champions League play. And they were handed their first loss of their Champions League campaign. It had to happen at some point. So
I got to tell you, I feel partially responsible for this. For the two previous Champions League matches, I had worn my black and white stripe 2023-24 campaign short shirt, and for this match, I was at work and I did not get to wear that shirt. Instead, I was wearing a 1996 away strip. So
did that have a collar? Is that why you could wear it to work?
No. I'm working in an office with no boss right now. I just forgot to wear the good one.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, the lucky one. So I suffice to say the next match versus Dortmund, I will be wearing the lucky one.
I will say it's wild that your lucky shirt is just the 2023 shirt.
Well, it's the, you know, Champions League reboot. So
okay, fair, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. So yeah, Newcastle lost 1-0 to Dortmund with a goal from Felix Nmecha. You know what, Felix, you're never going to hear this. So if I butcher your name, I butcher your name. That's kind of my brand. So
well, he's never coming on now. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's facts. So real quick, we'll go through the lineups. You know, keeping in mind that Newcastle are still without Sven Botman, and in the next episode and the other episode in the feed, we'll dive a little bit more into the injury crisis at Newcastle, which stacking up at by the minute. Nick Pope in goal, Trippier, Lascelles, Cher, Byrne as the back line, Sean Longstaff, Bruno, and Joel Linton in the midfield. Miguel Amaro and Alexander Isak and Gordon started in the attack for Newcastle. For Borussia Dortmund, Rami Besebaini, Schlotterbeck, Mats Hummels, and Marius Wolf were their back line, with Gregor Kobel in goal. Emre Can, former FIFA career mode legend, starting the midfield alongside Marcel Sabitzer, who people forget played in the Prem last year, and Felix Mecca, who was the goal scorer. They started Marco Reus, the longtime Dortmund legend, as well as Nicholas Füllkrug and Daniel Malen up as their forwards. I don't know why I said up top. It was just as the forwards.
He's there.
So I think And for those who want to read, Graham does really good match reviews on our website, so please check his stuff out. And Graham does really good match reviews because he cares about the team because he's from Newcastle, but he's also at pretty much every single game. He goes to all the games. I envy him. So he does really good match reviews and all that kind of stuff. But he kind of described it as Newcastle came up against a team that has been there and been in the Champions League, full of guys who've done it before. Yeah. And they knew what they needed to do. And Newcastle have shown shades of that. Like, you look at the Milan, we talked about how that was a pretty favorable result in the long run for Newcastle. But Dortmund kind of knew exactly what to do, and Newcastle couldn't take advantage of the opportunities they had. And Dortmund knew that all they needed was one opportunity. And I don't know, that's kind of how the match played out. I don't know if you have anything to add before I kind of get into some specific events or a specific walkthrough before we kind of
keep it moving. Sort of, sort of atmospheric, you know, topically. We've spoken about the atmosphere at St. James's Park, and it's been top class all year long. And I felt like Dortmund did a good job of taking the sort of the wind out of the sails. At least that's how it sounded on the broadcast. That may or may not be true, but it's just what it felt like from here watching it on Paramount Plus. I believe I watched it on Paramount.
Yeah.
And I would also say kudos to Dortmund and their supporters. They made a lot of noise. And I think that was kind of part of why we didn't hear so much of the Jordies, is just Dortmund was really, their supporters were really loud. You know, yeah. And so I think that changed the mood. And I think when Newcastle went looking for, and you'll get into this more details, but when Newcastle went chasing the goal, maybe they just didn't have, there just wasn't as much to push them, to propel them into that. Maybe they weren't as compelled to perform. You know, I think people often undervalue the energy of a good crowd.
Yeah, I mean, and if anything, I think Newcastle's emphatic win against PSG, who, again, they're top of the table, top of the group right now, but again, still a very good team. And, like, you could tell that in that moment when Newcastle won 3-0 over them, they fed off the crowd. The energy was there. And we don't need to go through the whole spiel. I think anytime any player who has played professionally, especially anyone in the Prem, has been asked about St. James's, whenever they're asking players or former players about it, they always talk about how it's a really tough place to play, and the team feeds off that energy, and that's the reputation that St. James's has. So kind of getting into it, pretty hectic start to the match. There was a couple saves. Nick Pope had a pretty solid double save, and then Anthony Gordon made Gregor Kobel work. It put him into action early. Probably the biggest highlight in the first 20 or so minutes was that Alexander Isak. He has been dealing with a groin injury. We talked about it. He's missed some international football for it, and has still kind of, because he's been allowed to rest, still been able to come in and be effective for Newcastle. In this case, it just kind of gave out on him. He had to be rested. He had to be subbed off, and that kind of tanked Newcastle's initial game plan. I think it's still important to recognize that, like, it's great to have Isak and Wilson. And they're both really good players, but they are both very different players. And there's a reason why sometimes, especially when you're not forced, when you're forced to make the substitution, it feels as if, like, it's a completely different team, because the team plays with each one of them very differently. So that's something to take note. And you talk about the wind being out of Newcastle sails. That's probably the biggest one. Are you concerned, Josh? I know you've been on the you're worried about Isak's fragility train since he came to Newcastle.
I had always been concerned about his durability. He looks frail, but he's also a hell of an athlete, right? When compared to a normal human being, he's a hell of an athlete. But when compared to other center forwards who play, you know, his role, he looks maybe like he can't take the bump and grind of the Premier League. I don't know. Maybe we'll we'll see if he recovers and then he plays out another couple of years without major injury. I'm happy to be wrong, but it kind of seems like maybe it's going to be a little knock and a little niggle every couple of months. It'll be something else.
To be fair, we'll say none of his injuries in Newcastle have been any contact injuries. It's all been like groin, like hamstring stuff that's not. It's not hamstring, but mostly like groin stuff and maybe a calf injury last year. I can't remember what it was, but it's all muscle related, which, like, I mean, you could go into a whole discussion about, you know, like what he could do to improve on that. But like, I think that's the other thing that gets swept under the rug sometimes when we talk about professional athletes is that we marvel at these people with abnormal bodies without realizing that it is not normal to be, like, what is he, like 6'4", like 200 pounds, like he has a weird body, and that's the case with like a lot of athletes. And if you talk to anyone, if you see any interviews with former athletes, especially ones in other sports where they're a little bit more freakish is not the right word, but
it's you not talk to polite, any guy
who's, yeah if you talk to any former NBA player, who are, they're all minimum the same height as Isak. Their knees and stuff are just shot, and they talk about how many weird injuries they used to wake up with, and just waking up in the morning and just like random parts of your body hurting.
Shit hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. and you're it's not normal bodies. All right. Anyway, Callum Wilson came on, and right before half, Dortmund scored the only goal of the match. Schlotterbeck was pressing, got Gordon. Schlotterbeck was defending Anthony Gordon and got the ball out to Marco Reus, who played in a pretty good cross to Felix Mbeka, who was just completely unmarked. And I mean, if you're going to give him a goal like that, that's like there was a lot that led to that goal, but at the end of the day, there was not much. Yeah, there's nothing you could really do if you're Nick Pope in that situation.
No, that's unstoppable. It's an unstoppable top shelf goal. It isn't like a golazo or something that's going to make a highlight reel at the end of the year, but it's one of those goals that you only see at the top levels of the Bundesliga. And you just like, you can't, there's nothing, what can you do? You can only mark, the only thing I could think that they could do better is to mark it out a little bit better, but that's asking a lot in that moment. But that's the only way you're going to stop a goal like that. It's just better marking on the delivery, better pressure on the delivery because the finish was unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah. And then kind of the atmosphere was, like you said, a bit deflated. Callum Wilson had the next big chance for Newcastle in about the 57th minute. Newcastle won the ball. Wilson played it to Gordon. Gordon basically did his last 1-2. Wilson in on goal. Pretty much felt like there's no chance he's missing. Coble makes a really good save. Mm. And the crowd kind of gets back into it there. There was a couple other opportunities, a couple decent balls put in, some dangerous balls put in. Newcastle hit the crossbar a couple times, including at the very end in the 86th minute. Matt Target played in a free kick, and Wilson got on the end of it, and it almost completely unmarked again, and it hit the crossbar instead of going into the goal. And then again, even further down in the match, literally right before the final whistle, Dortmund couldn't clear a corner, and Anthony Gordon got the ball and he had a shot deflected by Haller, and it just took a weird deflection and looped towards goal and hit the crossbar again. So really unlucky at the end, but kind of felt shades of Newcastle earlier on in the season when we were talking about how it felt like they couldn't score. But you know, at the end of the day, it's a really good Dortmund team. It's not, especially as we talked about it before this match, which was ages ago. The team isn't good. The Dortmunds was in pretty good form as well. I think earlier in the Champions League campaign, people were talking about how Dortmunds X, Y, Z, and blah blah blah, and they don't look good in the league. But now they're starting to pick up pace. They're starting to look good in the league, and they kind
of. Well, we had noted that too, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. We said that before, and they came in with a lot of confidence. Newcastle came with some pretty good confidence as well. So it felt like it could, this one eventually, you know, could have gone either way.
I mean, overall, Newcastle didn't play poorly. They had 61% of the ball, generated 12 shots. I mean, they were shot for shot with Bévalbé. They earned more corners than Bévalbé. So they were attacking. It wasn't a poor performance, I'll say that. It wasn't like I didn't rage quit the stream. I just, you know, you turned it off and you lost 1-0 and you just shake your head because, you know, your boys could have put one in at some point and it just didn't happen. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for you.
Yeah, facts. For group implications, kind of made it so that things are now a little bit more, there's a fight for who could advance. Milan look like they're at the bottom of the table right now. Sorry, I keep saying table because I'm thinking about the Prem. At the bottom of the group right now.
Yeah,
it's a little group. They're at the bottom of the group with 2 points. Newcastle are in third with 4 points, even on points with Dortmund, who, of course, had the tiebreaker over them, even though Newcastle has the better goal differential. Then PSG is at the top of the table with 6 points so far. So very interesting stuff. It does feel like it's possible Newcastle could – it's still in the cards for them to get out of the group stage, and it's also still in the cards for them to be playing European football. So that's just something to keep an eye on, is that, like, of course, like, as a reminder, third-place teams in the groups during in Champions League can will qualify the Europa League playoffs, and so there's just potential that Newcastle, and this has happened with Prem teams in the past, well, they'll finish third in their group, but once you get down to the Europa League, the quality of play can drop off, and there's really good teams in Europa League that are capable of beating Premier League teams. Like, we know Sevilla, and they always win every year, and blah blah blah. But in this playoff stage, it does feel like there's some teams that from other parts of Europe that just don't have the depth or quality to compete with some of the Premier League teams. So just don't be super concerned if Newcastle finished third. You're just hoping that Milan continue to lose.
Tank, yeah. You know, yeah. This is one of those groups where I think that everyone looked at it as the group of death when it started, and now we're looking at it as the group of anything can happen. Yeah. I mean,
it's definitely the most exciting group in the Champions League so far.
I mean, we've proven that we can beat PSG. I don't know if we'll go to Paris and beat PSG. Is it the Parc des Princes? Do they play?
Yeah, the Parc des Princes. Yeah,
I don't know if we can go into Paris and beat them there, but again, why not? And then Milan still has to come to St. James's. And I mean, the way that they're playing, again, why not? And then we could go to Dortmund and get a draw, or why not? Like, there's no reason to not believe that this team could actually, in fact, get the results required to finish second or even first. I mean, it's not, nothing is done and dusted.
Oh yeah, no. It does feel like this group is still wide open, and I mean, we don't have to rehash that. And then kind of just to sum that little bit up, and talk briefly about what's next for Newcastle regarding Champions stuff, and then I'll get your final thoughts on this match, and we'll move on to some other stuff. Milan did lose to PSG 3-0. So that was the other result in the group so far, and then. As for Newcastle, their next Champions League match will be next Tuesday, November 7th, and they're going to be playing at Dortmund. So a pretty tough stretch for Newcastle.
It really is.
The league match against Arsenal, who, of course, are good. Then they'll play Dortmund. And then they get a nice little break with Bournemouth and Chelsea, who are not good. And they'll then have a PSG followed by Man United. So fun times ahead for Newcastle. But yeah, that's pretty much it for that. Josh, do you have a player in the match? Do you have any other thoughts on that particular match, or do you want to
I would just say Marco Reus put in the shift that I thought he would. I think that I highlighted him as my danger man, or at least one of them, because the team is just so good that it's like you might as well just list off the whole 11. But Dortmund are a very good team. Newcastle did a good job against them, contained them. It could have been a lot worse. One goal loss isn't that bad. And yeah, I look forward to seeing what they can do when they go to the Signal Iduna Park. I think that they could put in a shift.
Yeah. So yeah, the other kind of thing, like I mentioned on one of the other pods, one of the other Champions League podcasts, is that I'm going to try to keep an eye on the other Newcastle player that's playing in Champions League, Yacoubi Minteh, who no real update for us here on this one because he's currently injured, so he didn't make an appearance against Lazio. Feyenoord did win 3-1,
that just means they're sort of dragging him along. You know, when he gets healthy, they'll still be in the
Champions. Oh yeah, no, he's definitely competing. He's competing to play significant minutes for Feyenoord. The whole reason we're talking about him is that he actually had started and played well in their initial Champions League match, and I literally blanked when we talked about it and when we did the Milan podcast, because I just didn't think that a lone player would be starting, be starting and being one of the better players for their team in Champions League play, but he is and was. They're definitely, he's got a muscle injury right now, should be returning at some point in the next couple of weeks. So we'll keep an eye out on that. But Feyenoord, if Newcastle crash out of Champions League, it seems like Feyenoord would be the team to root for. Get some Yacoubi Minteh, get to watch him and see how he does. This is, and again, having a pretty good season for them as they sit top of their group. Just so everyone's aware, he's got 3 goals and assists this season in the Eredivisie. So I don't know. He's a winger. This is out there, Josh, but I mean, Newcastle have a lot of injuries. We're going to talk about it, of course, later. But Jacob Murphy is probably a big one. So Newcastle are starting to look a little thin at winger, a position in which it felt like they had way too many of them. With Harvey Barnes out, Jacob Murphy potentially missing some months. We don't see it often in case of emergency, but do you think Newcastle could recall Yacoubi Minteh in January if they need the depth?
I don't know. There'd have to be a lot of trust in his ability to play at the level. Premier League is the best, I mean, arguably the best league in the world. And yeah, to bring him out of his loan, you would be committing yourself to significant playing time. You would have to be telling him, you know, like, we're pulling you out because we're going to play you, right? Because he's...
Well, but that's the reason I'm bringing it up is that there's potential that he has significant playing time. Like, Newcastle essentially only have 2 healthy wingers right now. So, look, like, we're not going to get into specifics. Maybe we see some Joe Willock, Joe Ellington rotation out there, but we'll talk about this a little bit more on the next pod. But Newcastle are without Elliot Anderson, who is a guy who they could have thrown out there on the wing. They're obviously without Harvey Barnes for who knows how long. There's still no real update on him. They're probably going to be without Jacob Murphy for a few months. And so who else are you playing at winger? Are you really going to...
Do you think maybe Ryan Fraser might be someone that they pull back from a loan before they pull Minteh back?
No, because Ryan Fraser is... with all due respect, we talked about this. How committed is Ryan Fraser to the club,
right,
or to anything? This is a guy who, like, we talked about it in the summer or the end of last year, willingly decided to be fine taking the pay cut to training with the U23s, and took his time to leave. And again, not the best history. I think you can be forgiven the first time you burn a bridge. Especially you're looking at him and Eddie Howe's relationship, but I mean, second time of doing the same thing, essentially giving up on the team because you don't like the situation you're in, instead of fighting for space or place or fighting for something. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. I mean, it's who knows what Newcastle came January, but it's just something to think about. He's obviously good enough in the sense of he's played consistently for a team in Champions League who are winning their group, which is, so far, he's having a better Champions League campaign than any Newcastle player. So,
yeah, I was throwing that name out there just to
Yeah.
To hear you rattle on. I mean, Matt Ritchie, it was...
For sure.
I mean, he could come. Yeah, so, you know, we're...
It does largely depend on what... And again, like, all of this is... It's all subjective on two things. One, you know, if Harvey Barnes or Jacob Murphy are close to return by the time the January window starts, obviously nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's a given.
Agreed.
And same with Ellie Anderson and all that kind of jazz. I think Ellie Anderson might be done for the year. I have to go back and look, and we'll do that ahead of the next pod. But you know, it's interesting things to think about, because you know you're relying on whether or not these guys get healthy, but also like Newcastle have an they might be playing a lot of matches. Think about if Newcastle finish third in this group, even you're talking about still additional matches that they have to play.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're looking right now, it doesn't feel that bad, but you can already see the fatigue starting to settle in some of the matches where guys are just starting to look a little bit gassed at the end of matches. And now you're losing the depth that you did have, which was fine. It wasn't great, but you're starting to lose that depth. It's Lewis Hall, he can obviously play, that's his name.
He's all right.
He can play as a winger as well. But it's just things to think about. And hopefully, if you're in January and guys aren't healthy and you're asking questions about whether or not to recall a guy from loan, it's probably because you're pretty deep cup run rise. Like, you're still in the FA Cup, you're still in the EFL Cup, and you've also got to worry about European football. And so that's a good position to be in if you're Newcastle. If you're having to think about making a move in January to bring in another winger, then that's probably good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think there's anything else. Like we already said, Newcastle's next Champions League match will be at Dortmund. That's just going to be a fun one to watch. Curious to see how they do. And probably this will be the most raucous atmosphere they've played in so far in Champions League play. Josh, did I leave anything off the old agenda? Or I think that's
no. Everything. I think we got it all for this particular episode.
All right, boom. Well, that's been an episode of CHN Radio. My name's Elijah. That was Josh. Love you guys. Wait, lads. It's cold up there in summer. It's like sitting inside a fridge. But I wish I was on the quayside, looking at the old time bridge. I'm coming home, Newcastle. I might as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll need for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle. If you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark at St. James's Park, at the Gallagher tent in the rain. I'm coming home. And I'm proud to be a Geordie and to live in Geordie land. Some people think we're bawdy and we're hard to understand, and they say it's just self-pity and we're not so very tough, 'cause the people in the big fat city haven't had it tough as rough. I'm coming home, Newcastle. You can keep your London wedding. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll meet for a bottle of the River Tyne. I'm coming home, Newcastle. I wish I'd never been away. I'd kiss the ground for the welcome sound of me mother saying, "Hinny, how we?" I'm coming home. Miss the old blind busker who stands at Fenwick's door. He plays a mean accordion, you've all seen him there before. And I love the Geordie heroes, there's so many famous names, like Lindisfarne in Gaza, Brendan Foster in the Gateshead Games. I'm coming home, Newcastle. I might as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll need for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle. If you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark at St. James's Park, at the Gallagher tent in the rain. I'm coming home, Newcastle. You can keep your London wine. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll need
for a bottle of the River Tide. I'm coming home, Newcastle. I wish I'd never been away. I'd kiss the ground for the welcome sound of me mother saying, hey, how we? I'm coming home, Newcastle. I might as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll need for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle. If you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark. It's in James's Park, at the Gallagher's End, in the rain. I'm coming.